A lot on Twitter today. Daniel Kramer, least sex. How about Professor Xavier? Yes, absolutely. This is here. I mentioned I thought Groot had the least sex. Groot has wood all day, says Beto in Whittier, among other things. The answer, Beto in Whittier says Ant-Man. Paul Rudd has the most because he's Paul Rudd and was right on the cover of, I guess, People magazine, whatever that was. Good stuff on Twitter. So, all right. Let's
do an explanation by from Matthew Palazzi. Haven't watched She-Hulk yet, but in the comics, she's hulked out because she got a blood transfusion from Bruce.
Ah. Okay, so that explains.
Right, so it wasn't the MAGA rays.
It wasn't. I said it was MAGA rays. I said it was crypto rays. We actually have. I think I was glancing at Twitter. We've got a regular Twitter guy named Crypto Ray. I think I said the crypto rays.
Crypto Ray was at the Manny Awards.
Yeah, Crypto Ray's a great guy.
He proposed.
Yeah.
He proposed.
Oh, that's right. That's what he did. Yeah. Are they still together?
I hope so. I think so, though. I think he posted pictures of him and her at Disneyland.
Nice.
Good. All right, so Better Call Saul. The finale was Monday night, and we've decided, jumping in. So, Andy, Better Call Saul for me is a top 10 all-time favorite show. I thought the characters are so unbelievably memorable in this piece. Bob Odenkirk is spectacular as Saul. Reyes Seahorn as Kim Wexler is unbelievable.
She's so great.
She should win everything. I thought Michael Mando as Nacho, his exit from the series.
Tony Dalton,
his exit.
Lalo Salamanca, unbelievable.
Patrick Fabian, who played Howard Hamlin. I would argue that what they did to Howard Hamlin was like the meanest thing anybody's ever done to anybody in the history of Better Call Saul.
It was so mean. Because you never even quite understood why they were doing this.
Right.
Like, I mean,
it's almost like it's being mean for fun.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I know that both of them had their issues with Howard in the past, and Howard could be a jerk at times. And,
yes.
You know, like a blow-dried jerk. But at the end of the day, they were effing with him for the sake of effing with him.
Yep.
Like, they were destroying his life, and then it turned out, and this was great with the show in terms of creating empathy for Howard. He had all this stuff going on in his life, this divorce, and he was living in this mansion essentially by himself.
By himself.
And you come to realize, like, not only was what they were doing to him mean, it was at the worst possible time to be doing just this straight act of cruelty, but then it takes that twist that you don't expect.
With Lalo.
Because I remember, as much as I was interested in what they were doing, there's a part of me going, like, you know what, I don't even know if this scam... What they were doing to Howard is totally believable. I'm like, there are times where it feels like it's skirting credibility, like everybody around him's falling for it. But right when I got to that point, it didn't matter because it took that sucker punch where Lalo kills him.
Yep.
And that becomes the ramifications, not what they did to Howard. It's that they put Howard in the position to get killed.
Yeah. The last episode... is very, very different from the finale for
Breaking Bad. Way different.
Breaking Bad was like, you know, Walter White rigged that machine gun. Yeah. And, you know, there were going to be bullets flying in that one. Never going to be bullets flying in this one. I thought the Better Call Saul finale was gave every character, including characters from Breaking Bad, their final due. And it was a much more kind of meditative kind of episode than it was a, you know, go out with a blaze of glory episode.
Yeah, I mean, the Breaking Bad finale was really exciting. And, it was fun to see Walt rig, you know, those machine guns to take down those white supremacists.
Yep.
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
But my criticism of it at the time, and I did like it, was that Walter tied up everything a little too neatly. In a way where it felt like he almost gets to have his cake and eat it too. Like, I know he dies, but he's got terminal cancer. So he's going to die anyway.
Right, but you thought you didn't like the ending for Breaking Bad?
I liked it, but I was like...
They tied up every loose end. I thought it was like ideal
to me,
wrap-up episode.
I always find... Like, Greg will understand what I'm talking about here. The Shield is a show that I think has the best series finale ever.
Oh, and, so good.
And one of the things about it that's so great is... Vic Mackey, you know, Michael Chiklis' character,
yes,
who's the most corrupt cop you will ever see,
mm-hmm.
he technically gets away with everything.
Spoiler.
But he pays an incredibly massive price. And everybody around him pays a price for what he did. And it felt to me like with the ending of Breaking Bad, like it wraps up a little too neatly for Walter in terms of everything that he wants
to do. So dead bleeding on the floor is too neat for you.
Well, he was going to die anyway. But yes. Jesse ends up escaping. He
Correct.
Helps set up his wife.
Yep, all that stuff.
What I liked about the way Better Call Saul ended is that you saw Saul make a sacrifice. Like mm-hmm. he got what he wanted, but he really has to pay a price for it.
Yes.
You know, by going to prison for the length of time that he does. And he set himself up that way so Kim could see him do something noble.
Yes.
And that he could match what Kim did in terms of doing the right thing at the end.
So part of me wanted him to stay bad. Part of me wanted him to, yep, I talked all the sentencing down to just 7 years. And, oh, yeah, I'll give you a little something out the door. I'll throw you Kim Wexler and all that. And just to go out like a real a-hole. But instead, he goes out like it's a redemption story. It's a redemption story.
Well, I think, like, the difference between Walter White and Jimmy McGill, Saul Goodman's original name, his real name, legal name.
Yep.
I think Jimmy McGill, at heart, was a better person than Walter White. Like, Walter White had this bitterness
yes.
building in him for years.
Sure.
And, you know, over his company and, you know, never
company
becoming,
and
never being as successful financially as he thought he should have been.
Yep.
And he had this, like, bitterness that kept growing and growing. Saul was more, like, amoral.
Mm-hmm.
And he did some terrible things.
Terrible things.
But he never seemed as inherently bad of a person. Like, he was more apprehensive about what they did to Howard than Kim was.
Then Kim was just like all in.
Right. So it felt true to Saul that he managed to do something good.
Yep.
Because I think if he had the ability to, you know, like if Chuck had really encouraged him, he might have found a way to become just a regular lawyer.
Mm-mm.
You don't think he had it in him?
No. I think he started bad.
Interesting.
I think he started bad, in part because of his brother, but I think he started bad. I don't know if there's an episode in the show or a moment in the show where you say, oh, there's where Saul broke bad. Saul broke bad super, super early, and you could argue that he has some defect that made him bad.
Well, here's
Kim has some defect that makes her
well,
bad.
Well, remember we saw in that one flashback.
Her
mom installed a lot of the grift in her. I think Jimmy had much more, he broke shady early. I don't know if he necessarily broke bad early.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, he was definitely shady.
Yeah.
As it goes down, I mean, I hope they all get awards and stuff for this because it was a great show. And Peter Gould wrote and produced and directed. And Vince Gilligan came in and did the second to last episode. And Bryan Cranston had a great part in the series
finale. I love how they
brought
back Cranston. I love how they brought back Aaron Paul.
Betsy Brandt.
I did not see that one coming.
Jonathan Banks yeah. came back for a part of that episode. It's a great show. It really is a great show.
It's such an impressive show because I remember when they announced that they were going to have a prequel, you know, the Better Call Saul prequel, I was really skeptical.
Right.
I was like, they're really going to do, like, I figured it'd be a comedy around Saul Goodman. I'm like, Odenkirk's great.
Yep.
I'm like, but can you really build a show around him? And, you know, remember, Breaking Bad was a surprise thing.
Oh, sure.
There was so much anticipation for Better Call Saul, so many ways that thing could have gone terrible.
Yep.
And they managed to make this show that was so great under that type of scrutiny. It's a hell of an achievement.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a great show. You'll forget about all this if you go back and start it right now. And we didn't really give that much away, I don't think.
No.
Most of it, but not.
There are little bits that
little
we did
bits,
not give away.
Little bits. All right, so The Big Lead, which is a site I visit every day. Do you ever go to The Big Lead?
Yeah.
So they put out a list of the all-time worst songs. Now, I'm not sure what made them the authority to decide what songs are bad and what songs are not. But they put a couple of songs up there, and I wanted to bounce them off you guys and see if you think they, in fact, are really bad songs. Now, their first example, their number one worst song of all time is a Kanye song. And it is called Lift Yourself. And it's specifically because of this set of lyrics, and they identify this is the reason it's a bad song.
These bars.
Whoopie dee scoop, scoop dee dee whoop, whoop dee scoop dee poop, poop dee scoop dee scoop dee whoop, whoopie dee scoop whoop poop, poop dee dee whoop scoop.
This is your genius.
Poop, scoop dee whoop. Whoop-dee-dee scoop.
You don't get them all. You don't nail them all.
Wow.
That's the worst. That's the worst song I've ever heard.
I think that's the point where even like Trudell dropped out on Kanye.
I'm
out.
Yeah, Trudell was out on Kanye. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that particular song. I know that they cite that particular part of it as being like really, really weird.
It's pretty terrible.
It's pretty awful. What comes to mind if I say worst song ever?
Worst song.
Worst song ever. Oof. Let me give you a little backtrack.
These bars. Poopy-dee scoop.
Okay.
Worst
song ever. Bergman.
It's pretty easy to me.
What is it?
Aqua Barbie Girl.
Yeah, you'll have to pull that. I don't.
You don't
know
the
song?
You absolutely know. I'm a Barbie girl. That one.
Oh, wow. That
living in a Barbie world.
That song's pretty terrible.
That is maybe the worst song besides this oop-diddy, scoop-diddy, poop-diddy.
LeBron James has not done enough as a Laker.
Yep, that was Richard Jefferson jumping in there.
I can only play a little bit of it, but.
Wiggle, wiggle, jiggle, jiggle.
That's up there.
That is up there.
That is up there.
Yeah.
That Spice Girls song, If You Want to Be My Lover.
That's a big song.
It's
a huge song.
It's pretty terrible.
If You Want to Be.
I mean, Barbie Girl was a big hit.
No.
Yes, it was.
I mean, it was, but.
It was a big hit.
So you're making my point for me, Greg.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but either way, Barbie Girl is terrible.
Yes, it was.
I would think that.
Pretty terrible.
I'm sorry. As a former DJ music program director, I'd play that record.
I know you'd play it. Doesn't mean it's not terrible. It's pretty terrible.
How much did you get paid?
When I was a program director in Ohio, record companies used to offer you stuff.
Greased palms in that industry.
A lot. I did not get Pura Yeska.
I'm actually high right now.
I'm not. So what I tended to do, I knew people that got coke. I knew people that got cars. Mm-hmm. I knew people that got, I mean, all kinds of stuff. All I ever did was I would say, like, if I'll play this record, if you give me a trip to Hawaii that I can give away on the station. So that was my sort of play. But I knew people who were on the take from the jump.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I remember there's this guy named Charlie Miner, who was actually a famous guy, passed away in a tragedy a number of years back. But he was like the quintessential bring the prostitutes to the program director's convention, that kind of guy. He was that kind of guy, right? And I remember one time he wanted me to play this record by 38 Special. I'm like, nah, not going to do it. He said, well, let me fly out here for a conversation. Flew me out to Beverly Hills for the weekend, and I was like, you know what? 38 Special sounds pretty good.
Kind of like this. Hold on loosely.
I like this. Yeah. 38 Special was the one that I remember really clearly. But, man, that was a dicey business back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Now I think all they do is somebody decides what a hit is, and they put it on Kiss FM, and then it's over. It's lights out.
It's
over.
Seacrest. He just decides.
Ryan Seacrest decides what the hits are, exactly. All right, coming up next. Actually, throw that out there. 877-710-ESPN. Worst song ever. And, you know, because it's F It Friday, you can ask us anything you want. Ask anything you want.
It's an AMA.
It's an AMA. Exactly. 877-710-ESPN, Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So this is listed by the Big Lead as one of the worst records of all time, one of the worst songs of all time. What do you think? I think it's unfair, personally.
It's a pretty bad song.
Oh, but come on.
Let me ask you this. Which is worse by, I don't remember if this is Jefferson Starship or Starship.
This is Starship.
Starship. Is this the worst song or Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now?
Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now is a rough song.
From Mannequin.
Is that what it's from?
It's from the movie Mannequin. Yeah. With Andrew McCarthy and Kim Cattrall.
Yeah.
Nothing's gonna stop us.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. That's
it's pretty bad.
That's pretty treacly.
I mean, this song has my Cody plays the mamba.
I'm sorry. I think this is a great record. This takes me back to a time and a place. And by the way, this is the whole thing with songs. You'll have your worst song, and there are a lot of people lined up. This is the worst song ever. You know, the reality is songs take you to a time and a place, and this takes me to a particular time in my life when I was having a really good time, so I like the song.
To a time where I built a city.
Exactly.
I mean, look, there are songs that I think are bad that remind me of fun times. Like, you know, Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba.
Oh, funny you mention.
Is that on the list?
Funny you mention.
It's a terrible song, but I remember being out with my friends. It's fun. But I get up again. I'm getting down. I get knocked down. I get up again.
That's as animated I've seen a Kamenetsky get.
Don't cry for me,
so
Danny boy.
Now, this is on the list of worst.
It should be.
And so it's
terrible.
Right? That's an awful song, like objectively awful.
Yes.
I would say. Hang on a second. Let me go to Tom in Santa Barbara. Hey, Tom, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Two things. Whoever came up with that, I built that city or this city, that's a horrible song all time in my
yes,
life.
Yes, it is.
So that's that. So you guys were talking about Cody earlier.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's real simple. Back in the day, there was a gentleman named Mark Belanger.
Yes,
one
I remember.
One of the greatest shortstops ever to play the game.
Yep.
The Dodgers acquired him from Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
and they said, you know what? We're pretty darn good, but what we need is that safe. I feel safe with Cody Bellinger in center field. I went to the game two Sundays ago, I guess it was, when we swept the Padres.
Right.
And I told my I had like eight family members there, and I said, I'm tired of the heat on Cody. He's great in center field. And every once in a while, he hits the bomb that you just go, God, I love this guy. And he hit two that day. So, leave him in center field. We're a great team. He's a great leader in center field. I always feel safe when he's out there. And every once in a while, he pops that thing. I don't care about the stats, Bergman. You're right. I'm wrong. But I feel better when he's out there.
All right. Thank you very much, Tom. There's an impassioned plea for Cody Bellinger. The glove does matter. The glove does count.
Especially at that level. I mean, he's really good.
It's half the game. Run prevention is half the game.
He's an exceptionally good center fielder.
You need to have more pop on the show. Yesterday was boring with Kamenetsky. Get that Sliwa sound and put some Howard Stern vibe in this Friday, man.
Who said that?
Sonny Sandoval.
You know what, Sonny?
I got
Sonny right here. Sonny.
Sure. Let's go to...
Hey, Sonny.
Hey, guess what? Screw you.
I wasn't sure I could say that, but you know what? Screw
no,
you,
absolutely
Sonny.
Can. Let's go to Mike in Linwood. Hey, Mike, you're on 710. What's going on, man?
Yeah, you cannot tell me that you don't change the radio station when you hear the Macarena. You have to.
Macarena's pretty bad.
Here's the thing. I don't know that anybody plays the Macarena anymore, but you're right, Mike. Oh.
We do.
Oh, no.
Stop it. You're killing me.
Turn up the radio, Mike. Turn up the radio.
Pretty bad.
It's funny. It's novelty songs are the songs that tend to not wear very well. Like I saw in here somewhere, Rick D's Disco Duck as the worst song ever. Now, that was a novelty record.
Right. That's not really a song.
Anybody do the Donald Duck voice? Yeah, no.
That's,
Bergman?
No, I can't.
You
can't
do the duck voice?
No, I can't do it. That's not one. Not bad.
Rick did a whole song like
yes,
that.
Yes, he did.
He did a whole song in that voice.
Remember like Pac-Man Fever? That would be a novelty song.
You know, Rick Dees, how old is Rick Dees now? If you don't know, Rick Dees was on the radio
He's
here for about 150 years.
75 at least.
Oh, there's Disco Duck.
Let's go, Mama. I got to have real trouble.
72 years young.
72 years old. Lived in his own universe in his head there for
a
while.
You know, he was in that movie La Bamba. He was a DJ.
Was he?
Yeah.
In La Bamba?
He was a DJ in La Bamba.
That was my mom's favorite artist, was Richie Valens. My mom loved Richie Valens because he sang that song Donna, which is my mom's first name. Yeah, oh, Donna. Yeah, she believed when she was a little girl that song was for her.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it for her. Let's go to Phil in Long Beach. Hey, Phil, you're on 710. What's happening, man?
I'm doing pretty well, and it's very ironic that you're doing this segment on the namesake of the worst song ever by Rebecca Black. It is Friday.
Oh. Turn up your radio, Phil.
Oh. Wow. That is, I forgot about that. That became like an internet.
Yes.
Internet sensation.
This was like when YouTube first started entering the culture and you could take off from YouTube.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, you're right. I'm going to go with you on that. It's Friday. Friday.
Hey, I feel bad because wasn't she like a kid?
She was a little kid, and her mom, I'm sure, was like a stage mom, said, you're going to get all dressed up, and you're going to go sing this song in a studio.
She's a momager.
Friday. Because here's what I heard. I heard that girl can't actually sing and that they auto-tuned it.
That's believable.
Yeah.
That's most artists.
What do you mean it's most artists don't
Most
auto-tune.
Artists use auto-tune.
There's a lot of auto-tune.
Absolutely.
No, most artists do not.
I would think most.
I don't even know.
Way over 50%.
Are you even an artist if you use auto-tune?
Every single artist now uses it.
Adele ain't using auto-tune.
She's probably one that doesn't. But, you know, like Charlie Puth uses it. So does...
Why are you calling out Charlie Puth?
Harry Styles. You can hear it. Everybody uses it.
But isn't auto-tune like a shortcut to...
It is a shortcut.
Like, couldn't I put out a hit record with auto-tune?
Quite possibly, yeah. You got the right
to record you. Yeah.
Do the anthem
with
auto-tune.
Could you auto-tune it?
Yeah, I know somebody who can do it. Yeah.
You know somebody who can auto-tune?
Yeah, Mario can do it.
Oh, Mario?
Mario probably
could
do it.
Mario could do it.
Yeah, I have to decide what song I would sing.
Oh, no, absolutely. Whatever you want.
Yeah. Speaking of the
anthem.
Hey,
Mario, if you're listening.
Christopher Holmes hit us up on Twitter.
Yes.
Worst song by far, Fergie's national anthem. I was in the building for this.
Were you?
Yes. Oh.
And the... By the way, that was legit. That was on the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm. I was in the building. It was so awkward. Nobody knew how to react. You could see the players are like, what is going on?
Yeah, everybody wants to be Marvin Gaye. They think, oh, yeah, you know, Marvin Gaye reinvented the national anthem. I'll just come up with my own, and I'll cross Marilyn Monroe's Happy Birthday, Mr. President, with the national anthem, and that's what I'll get.
I'm going to do the national...
That's what she's saying.
I'm going to do the national anthem, but I'm going to add a little sex appeal to it. No.
It was the sexy national anthem.
Happy birthday, America.
It totally is. I'm seeing...
Slam Diego Love.
That's the worst.
That's up there. Awful.
Carlo B says this is the worst song ever.
Yeah, it's a good bad song, though. It's a great song to mock the Padres with.
San Diego
loves the Padres.
San Diego loves the Padres.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not your anthem there.
No, but I mean, but that's like the equivalent of Weird Al Yankovic. Like, Weird Al would never have any of his songs in there. They're supposed to be goofy and funny.
Yes, exactly.
And they're parodies, so.
Yeah, they're supposed to be, right?
Right.
All the Weird Al stuff is great.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that movie with
Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah,
they're making
Radcliffe.
A movie. Is that who it is? Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some might say, worst song ever.
Momo.
I would say, go watch the Kenny G documentary. Have you seen the Kenny G documentary?
I have not, but by all accounts.
It's better than that Manti Te'o documentary, I'll tell you that much.
He's supposed to be a really cool guy.
Yeah, he seems cool. He seems disciplined.
Yeah, played the longest note ever.
Did he?
He sustained like a G-note or a C-note.
So he has that thing where he's able to breathe through his nose while blowing into the horn at the same time and do it for a really, really long time. Circular breathing.
Isn't there a theme
right?
song for a country that means we're closing down? A documentary. It's in the documentary.
Oh, that's right.
It's
one of those. Is it China? I think it's China.
I think it's China.
When they play a Kenny G song, it means everybody home for the night.
Yep. Go home. Yep.
Business is over here.
So this is you don't got to go home, but you can't stay here in China? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like their, you know, like.
Say they play it at the mall. Let's say they play it at the mall. They
mall's
once they
closing.
Play this song, mall's closing, time to go home, everybody.
It's the go home song.
Yeah, that's it. That's
cool. Kenny everybody G has home. The power. To make a country of 2 billion people go home.
He's Kenny G was massive. He was a huge.
Well, I told this story. They invented that whole format, that wave format. They said, okay, so we got this Kenny G song. What kind of, where can we play it? There's nowhere we can play it. Let's invent a new station to play Kenny G. And that's what the wave was. The wave was a new station to play
really?
Kenny G. Yeah, it was the Kenny G format.
And then Coast said, if they can do it, so
we
can
do it too.
He's isn't he a really good golfer? Kenny G?
He is an outrageously good golfer.
Come on. You have to play this.
And you can't get out of it.
Were you not expecting it?
Oh, no.
Now, that's the song that is most likely to get stuck in my head on any given day. And now that Jorge has played it, it's not been in my head for a couple of weeks. Now that will be back.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Throughout Costa Rica.
Throughout Costa Rica. You've got to get yourself together. You've got stuck in a moment. You got stuck in a moment. Can't get out.
Okay, I tell you what, coming up next,
I've got one. I think there's one more awful song, right? One more bad song, which I would like to take issue with. Plus, the Nets, just to throw something out there, and we'll continue to take your calls. The Nets, apparently pretty content and dug in on Kyrie Irving. We got that coming up next for you, too. Mason in Ireland, Andy Kamenetsky's in for John, 710 ESPN. So they put the Big Lead put this on their list of worst songs of all time. I don't understand the Imagine Dragons hate in the world. Where is the Imagine Dragons hate coming from?
Well, this one, I mean, it gets overplayed and
probably
then
the video
the worst.
What's that, Jorge?
The video.
Oh, the video's bad. Well,
I mean,
yeah, but
who
I
watches
mean,
videos
yeah,
anymore?
Watching I videos.
You do.
Yeah, Jorge's watching the videos. Yeah. Why do people dislike Imagine Dragons?
They have a really specific sound. You either like their sound or you don't like their sound, but all their songs sound the same. So if you don't like one Imagine Dragons song, you're pretty much going to hate them all.
This is what I'm trying to see who wrote this about Imagine Dragons. Honestly, this could be any Imagine Dragons songs. A song. This is the worst popular band of the last 25 years. They deserve to be the punchline of every joke about Nickelback. Is Thunder the worst song by this group? I'm not sure, and there's no way of I'm going to listen to all of their songs to make an accurate ruling. I just know that this one is horrible and could stand in for the rest of their bad songs.
Do you remember Mace?
It's so brutal.
At your roast, when Brian and I were roasting you, I had a joke where I said, you know, I remember when you first came out as gay and the courage that it took to do that, but it was not nearly as courageous as when you came out as an adult fan of Imagine Dragons.
What is it with Imagine Dragons? What's wrong with Imagine Dragons?
Like I said, if you don't like one song, every beat is doom, doom, tsh, doom, doom, tsh, doom, doom. It's like they took the drum loop from We Will Rock You and they put it in all their songs.
Oh, are we going through Imagine Dragons loop right now?
We have so much Imagine Dragons.
I just want to see if they all sound the same.
I put them all in.
I
want to
hear.
Yeah. See, that sounds totally different. That just sounds totally different. These are all different songs.
No, this sounds like a slowed down version of the other songs.
No.
It's got a U2 feel
to it. They're all anthemy.
They're all anthemy. Now, I'll give you that.
Well, is that their fault, or is it like the ESPN and Fox and all those that use this as their come-in
What's
music?
Interesting, Bergman, that's actually a really good question. So this you hear on a lot of football games. So is it ESPN's fault that people dislike Imagine Dragons because they I like this one because they keep using them as intros to games and stuff?
It's a fair question. Okay, well, here's a better question.
Yep.
Do you think what happened
What's wrong
with them
my
with,
question?
Like, ESPN... Did ESPN shape the band they became? Like, do you think they ever were looking to maybe tweak their sound? Like, nope.
We're on ESPN.
We have found our lane, and it is anthem rock.
We are on
sports anthem rock.
Yeah, I mean, they are the sports anthem rock. And you know what? I'm going to see them at Bank of California Stadium next month again. Adult like, fan of Imagine Dragons.
Okay.
We're all getting together for the show.
Okay, let me put it this way: they could do their concert with a soccer game playing at the same time, and nobody would really know the difference. Like, you wouldn't be thrown off. If you had a sports event going during an Imagine Dragons concert, it would sync up perfectly.
This is what happened to Black Eyed Peas.
Black Eyed Peas were never good.
No, that's not
true.
Well,
actually,
yeah,
Black Eyed Peas
were never good.
No,
but
actually,
they were on the beginning of every single sport.
Black Eyed Peas were good. Then they added Fergie, and they became a totally different group.
That also on the list of worst songs ever. This song is utterly nonsensical, laid over the worst kind of pop beat that dominated the mid-aughts, which means, like many other entries on this list, it's nearly impossible to get out of your head after you remember it exists and you spend half your day upset that you can't stop thinking about it. Sorry.
Have you ever seen, you can find this on YouTube, it's hilarious, Alanis Morissette does a really emotional cover of My Humps. It's so funny.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, she's in on the joke. She does it, like, hugely emotional and serious. It's hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
It's really funny.
Let me go to Mike in Long Beach. Hey, Mike, you're on 710. What's happening, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. So this is the worst song by a band I love, a really great band. But the Ohio Players did Funky Worm.
While it's
not as bad as Duck, it's done by a great band, so I think that makes it hit that worst song list.
Okay, the Ohio Players, Funky Worm.
I think you got to go back.
Granny,
do you know this song?
Yeah, I know this song.
You're a little late, so come right this way. Just come right in.
This song's been sampled a ton of times.
Has it?
Oh, yeah, Funky Worm is great.
Me and the Ohio Players going to
disagree. Hard disagree.
Hard is that Sophie on the song? Is that Sophie?
It sounds like
okay, movie. Yeah, it does. Hello, I'm with the Ohio Players.
Yeah. Hell no, is this on the worst list?
Well, it's a good groove. It's a good groove.
Yeah, this has been sampled over and over. Hell no.
All right. This is Alanis Morissette doing My Humps.
This is incredible.
It's so great.
Never heard this before.
The Alanis Morissette
never heard this
version
this
of
slow.
My Humps. That's great. That's a great pull. Okay, now I promised we would do this, so I'm going to do it. Kyrie Irving is out there. He's unhappy in Brooklyn, but seems like he is not necessarily on his way to moving along. Here's a little bit on that.
I think Kyrie is invested in being a Brooklyn Net next year. Obviously, there was some turmoil with his contract extension not happening. He realizes his best path going forward to get the contract he wants in Brooklyn or elsewhere is to have a very good season. And so from what I can gather, it appears that he and the Nets are looking forward to meeting up in training camp. Now, whether Kevin Durant is there and his level of buy-in, that's the big question. But right now, I think the Nets want to run this team back, and they're hoping that Kevin Durant agrees. The way that they are conducting trade talks and the prices that they are asking has teams out there thinking they don't really want to trade Kevin Durant anyway. They want to bring this team back. So we'll see if Durant goes along with that come training camp.
I told you this 2 months ago on the radio, Wendy,
so he's saying still going to be in Brooklyn. I think they're both still going to be in Brooklyn.
Look, man, until the Nets can get what they want for Kevin Durant, A, I don't think they want to trade him. B, I really think they don't want to be looking like they were forced to trade him. And as long as Kevin Durant is on that team, or until they know who they're going to get for Durant, which could be if it's someone like Jaylen Brown, that makes them a competitive team. They may want to keep Kyrie, or at the very least, they may trade Kyrie for a player that they actually want as opposed to Russell Westbrook, who they're going to buy out.
Yeah, I don't think there's a market for Kyrie. I have to assume he's just going to be in Brooklyn to start the year. Well, and the idea of running it back, you're really running it. It's not like when Sean McVay shouts, run it back. No. I mean, Brooklyn running it back is not necessarily a good thing.
No, it's just this is the situation. You know, if we can get some, if we can get an offer, Durant, that we like, we'll trade you. Until then, see you at training camp.
Right.
You know, I mean, remember years ago, the Lakers called Kobe's bluff. You know, he had said he was going to play on Pluto before the Lakers. Yep. There had been that report that he wasn't going to show up at training camp. I remember when Media Day opened, there was real uncertainty about whether or not he was there. And remember, you've been to Media Day before.
Yes.
The players come out from like a back area. You know, they all sort of emerge at yep. once. And I remember Kwame came out, Kwame Brown. And I was just talking with him, you know, catching up, you know, seeing how his offseason been, whatever. And then he asks me, do you know if Kobe's here?
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, he actually asked me. I'm like, I don't know, man. You're on the team, not me. But, like, it speaks to how much uncertainty there was about Kobe. And he eventually came out, and the season ended up turning out great. They went to the finals, got Powell.
Yep.
All of that. But the Lakers, ultimately, they asked around a bit, couldn't find a deal they wanted. Dr. Buss told Kobe, I cannot get good value. I cannot get fair value for you. You're staying.
Right.
And it worked out. Sometimes you just have to tell a player, like, look, I can't get what I need for you. And when you consider everything Brooklyn gave up in the first place to be in the Kevin Durant business, they can't just dismantle that because he wants it.
Do you know at one point the Lakers and Detroit were negotiating a yeah. Kobe deal?
Yeah.
It was Kobe to the Pistons for Richard Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince, Amir Johnson, and a first-round pick.
Yeah. But this is what made it even more complicated. Kobe had that no-trade clause.
Right.
So you are essentially negotiating with the Lakers and with Kobe.
Yes.
Because remember, Kobe had wanted to go to the Bulls, but he wanted to play with Luol Deng. The Lakers are like, if we don't get Luol Deng in this deal, there's nobody we'd want.
Yes.
So that made Chicago at an impasse because you're negotiating with two different parties.
Right. You know, the one thing, you mentioned Media Day, and, you know, Ireland and I have been to Media Day many times. Ireland's around these guys all the time. But there are certain people that have, like, this aura mm-hmm. around them. And it's not everybody. Just because you play in the NBA doesn't mean you have this aura about you that Kobe does, that Shaq had, that LeBron has. This almost this physical sense of stardom. Like some people, so years ago I met Ewan McGregor, who of course went on to play Han Solo and all that stuff. And when I met Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan. So when I met Ewan McGregor, I ended up through some weird circumstance at a dinner with him. And the entire time, Ewan McGregor's just a really big star. Ewan McGregor just, it's almost like they plucked him to the screen because he's got that magnetism.
He's a great actor.
He's a great actor. Yeah, great actor. And sometimes people do, you know, there's a level of physical something.
Yeah.
That guys have when they're just stars.
Yeah, Kobe absolutely had. Like, Magic has that.
Oh, Magic has that,
like,
yeah.
The charisma that people talk about with Magic, it is not overstated.
Right.
Like, that is not overblown. Magic is one of the most charismatic, like, just naturally charismatic people I've ever been around.
Yeah.
You just feel it.
Yep. Hey, did we get through all of our bad songs, Jorge? We got it covered. Excellent.
I think we got through most of them.
Yeah, I think we got
through
a bunch.
The list you sent me, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. We got it. Okay, cool. Coming up next for you is Bobcat.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. All right, so Carlos sent me this the other day, and it is the top 10 airlines.
Top 10 airlines.
The best U.S. airlines of 2022. Can you name the top? What do you think? Let's do the top five. Okay. Make it easy. Top five. What do you think the top five airlines are in 2022?
Okay.
According to the points guy.
I will go Delta.
Delta is number one.
Oh.
Wow.
Delta's got a very good
rep.
Is it
that good?
Yeah, Delta's got a very good rep. Yeah, I've flown Delta. They actually still take the food part of it somewhat seriously.
Oh.
Somewhat. As seriously as an airline can take it.
I don't fly very often, but that's surprising.
Yeah. Okay, number two.
Number two.
United sucks. I know that much.
Do people still like JetBlue?
I
American.
Let's go American.
You want to go American?
Yep.
Number four.
Okay. Oh. So we got number one and number four.
For what you want, is Southwest good? Like, I think for what you want,
Southwest is good. Put Southwest in there.
Southwest is number two on the list. You have one, two, and four so far. You guys are doing really well. I'm surprised.
Okay. So now, United is terrible. So I'm not going to put United out there. Are they a sponsor?
No. We don't have an airline sponsor that I know of.
Good. Let's see. What else is there? What about Virgin?
Virgin. Okay, so Virgin Airlines is not even on the list.
Niche-y?
Virgin Airlines is really nice. What's that?
Alaska,
says Boss Amanda.
Boss Amanda's right. It's number five on the list. Alaska. So there still is number three that you're missing.
Okay, so it can't be United. United is terrible.
JetBlue. Try JetBlue.
Try JetBlue.
JetBlue's number seven, so not the third.
Is it going to be United?
Does Continental
still exist? Continental doesn't exist. Northwest doesn't
exist. TWA.
TWA, yes.
TWA.
It's TWA. Pan Am.
Frontier.
Yeah,
all those old show called Pan Am. It was a Pan Am show with Margot Robbie.
Just say United for the hell of it.
United is number three on the list. That is all five. The rest of the list is Hawaiian at number six, which is a great airline. Spirit is number 10. Spirit is number 10, by the way. JetBlue is number 7. Frontier is number 8. And Allegiant Air is number 9.
My brother flies Spirit all the time. He just grabs that strap handle and they fly.
I think they just went out of business. They just got bought.
They just got bought, yeah. Yeah. It can only get better, people.
They're getting rid of the strap handles.
Yeah, getting rid of the strap handles.
Got to put me up, Jorge.
I'm a general.
Yeah, I wanted to go with a different drop today. All right, so Devin Sawa, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he's still doing anything or not, but he is a blue check mark now still. But so he put out this tweet today, and I want to know what you guys think would be better. If Jerry Seinfeld rebooted his show for a short 10-episode season,
right,
it would be the biggest thing ever. Name a reboot that would be bigger.
A bigger reboot than Seinfeld.
For 10 episodes. You get a 10-episode arc, one season.
Seinfeld would be pretty big.
Seinfeld would be huge. And I bet you they get Larry David to come back and help write
as George Steinbrenner.
Let me ask
as George Steinbrenner.
Is this a complication? Michael Richards. Remember how Michael
He was on Getting the Coffee in Cars with Jerry Seinfeld.
Sure, I know, but he's been pretty out of sight. So you're going to end up having to deal with those questions of bringing Michael Richards back. I'm not saying that I wouldn't watch it necessarily. I'm just saying that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it would be gigantic. We already had like a little taste of that Friends thing. I thought that kind of went nowhere.
But that wasn't a reboot, though.
That was just like
we're sitting around talking.
We're getting together and singing Smelly Cat or whatever the hell we're doing.
They did sing Smelly Cat.
I'm sure they did. So I would say that's probably right. I don't think there would be anything bigger than Seinfeld coming back for a 10-episode run. That would be gigantic.
It would be gigantic. You got nothing, Andy?
No ideas, Andy. An agreement, another idea, something.
Cheers too old?
Cheers is too old.
Because Cheers is still really popular.
Cheers does not hold up.
Home Improvement.
I don't think it holds up.
Cheers. Home Improvement.
That's called Last Man Standing now. Same show.
Cheers absolutely holds
up. I don't think it holds up.
I hard disagree.
Hard disagree more.
I am going to put out a poll right now.
The hardest disagreement I could possibly have.
I'm going to put out a poll at Cam Brothers.
Oh, Alf would actually do well, I think.
I think they've done
Eating
that, though.
Cats.
I think they've actually done Alf as a reboot.
They may have done Alf. No, Cheers does not hold up.
Cheers absolutely won't.
What? Sitting at a bar getting drunk all
Slow,
day long?
It doesn't have that spark. It was just like. What is that?
That's Alf, the theme.
Oh, that's the Alf theme.
That's not Cheers.
The Alf theme. Yeah, no, I don't think Cheers holds up.
I'm going to put out a poll. I'm going to put it to the people at Cam Brothers.
Put it to the people. But I can't think of another show that would be that big
as
of
big
a deal.
Because Seinfeld's still in people's minds because it's on reruns constantly.
Nonstop, yeah.
Can I just have the Alf theme behind this whole thing for the rest of the time? I love that theme song. Play it again. But we'll switch over.
Bobcat.
Jorge, what you got?
Okay, 135 locations. I mean, 135
like
AMC
this.
Locations.
Will 135
be
what?
AMC locations.
AMC
like
locations,
theaters.
Yes.
They will be replaying Grease after the death of Olivia for $5, showing.
And the money goes to breast cancer research.
Oh, it does. It goes to breast cancer research.
So
very nice.
What movie would you go watch
that you can put in a theater? Like, what's your favorite movie that you would watch in a theater?
Of all time?
Of all time. The Godfather, for sure, for your... For
yeah, me. I mean, Godfather, yeah. Chinatown. You know what I saw over at the... They have the Film Academy now? Mm-hmm. They're not the Film Academy. What do they call that place? The Academy Museum.
Yeah.
Right over on...
It's Wilshire.
Wilshire
in Fairfax.
So we went to see Mean Streets, which is Martin Scorsese and Robert De Niro in one of his very first movies.
Harvey Keitel.
That was great in a theater.
It's a really good movie.
There's something to be said. There's still something different when you see a movie in a theater as opposed to when you see it at home, even though I'm not going to theaters as much as I used to go.
We took my daughter a couple years ago to the New Beverly and saw E.T.
Quentin Tarantino still own the New Beverly?
Yes, he does. Yeah. I can't remember.
How does E.T. hold up?
Great.
Does it?
My daughter loves it. And the first time she saw it was a couple of years ago. She was like 8 or 9. It's kind of the sweet spot to test it. Absolutely loved it. Saw it in the theater. It's a great, great experience to get on a big screen.
That's cool. That's cool. Jorge, what about you?
Back to the Future is one of those.
Back to the Future.
That one's for me.
Bergman? In a theater.
In a theater? I would go see Dazed and Confused in a theater. I love that movie.
That's a great movie.
I love them. I love Richard Linklater.
Richard Linklater. What other Richard Linklater movies
did he do another one, but it's like an 80s version of it.
A follow-up,
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Oh, Everybody Wants Some.
That's exactly what it was. Everybody Wants Some. Yeah. That was pretty good, too.
You know what I would love to see in the theater again? Because you want to talk about a theater movie?
Yes.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, yes!
That's a theater movie.
That is a movie you got to see in a movie theater. Otherwise, you cannot appreciate not hearing Tom Hardy say anything intelligible and Charlize Theron being a total badass.
Yes, and those stunts. Some of the most amazing car stunts you will ever see.
Yeah, it's a great... Have you seen that, Jorge? Have you seen Mad Max Fury Road?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Kills. That movie kills.
Never saw it.
Bobcat. Bobcat.
I got it. I wanted to play a different drop.
Yes, sir, Rebo.
Excellent. Is my mic on? Oh, it is. Okay.
Is my mic on?
So Pete Davidson and Kaley Cuoco are going to be in a brand new rom-com called Meet Cute. And is about two strangers who find love at first sight after meeting each other. So, basically, the question
feels like something that's never been done before.
Yeah, exactly, never. So, how did Pete Davidson become this rom-com star, and why is he so big?
Well, I think this rom-com has something to do with Lorne Michaels, who is the producer of Saturday Night Live and does a lot of shows with people that were former cast members. I get the appeal of Pete Davidson. I watched that movie,
King
of Staten Island. I thought he was actually really good in it.
I don't get him. I don't get Pete Davidson at all. I've never found him particularly funny. But some people just have that thing, I guess.
I'll watch Pete Davidson in a movie.
But he's also got like a thing, period. Like he's with Kim Kardashian. Like, you know.
Yeah, he was with Kim Kardashian.
Ariana Grande.
Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, it is. Oh, God. Has Ireland recovered from that?
Yeah, Ireland is over it, thankfully.
He thinks he has a shot now.
Yeah, he's back in the game. Back in the game.
And he's, by the way, he's done all this. I didn't realize he was this young. He's not even 30 yet.
Is that right?
He has done all of this before turning 30.
Wow.
That's wild.
BDE goes a long way.
It sure
does.
Hashtag
goals.
Hashtag goals.
Yes. Bobcat.
I got it, Mace. Leave the mic. Leave it alone.
I'm allowed to do it.
No, I got it. I got it.
I'm allowed to do whatever I want.
Then we're going to start getting some stereo going again.
Good.
Fine.
It's a trap.
So to kick it off the planet time.
Okay.
I think this is more towards you, Mace. I don't know how you feel about this one, Andy, but... Peanut butter cups or donuts?
Hey, peanut butter cup.
Oh, man. One or the other.
Peanut butter cups.
One leaves, the other stays.
The other one never existed.
Goodbye to...
Peanut butter cups.
Really? Goodbye to the peanut butter cups? No way.
Peanut butter cups.
Goodbye to peanut butter cups.
It's the answer.
No.
The reason is I love peanut butter cups, but there's only one kind.
Of peanut butter
cup.
That's not true.
Well, they've got slight variations.
Right, but they're basically all the same peanut butter cup. You eliminate donuts, you're eliminating the crullers, you're eliminating...
The eclairs, the jelly donuts, the cream-filled donut, all that stuff.
It's like you're eliminating an entire species.
The old-fashions, the chocolate ice...
Chocolate twist.
The bear claws.
The plain cake.
There is nothing better than chocolate and peanut butter mixed together.
You can do that on your own.
No, just do it. That's the peanut butter cup.
You can do that on a donut.
Peanut. Yeah, you should
no,
try
it doesn't
the
exist.
Peanut butter
doesn't exist.
And
you can't
chocolate
do it.
Donut.
Can't do it. Nope. Can't mix them together. They never together. Got mixed together. It never happened. Ever. And it can't ever happen.
Peanut butter cups.
Bobcat.
It's over. Go to break.
Oh, God. That's so funny.
Bobcat.
Effing Friday. Effing Friday. All right. So, are you, I forget, do you own, dogs?
Yeah, I got
you're
two dogs.
You're a perfect person for
two
this.
Two dogs.
So, I've got a ranking of states and how well they treat their dogs. And California is near the top of the list. Plus, the best UFO photo I have ever seen. I want you to, I'll show it to you, Andy. I want you to tell me where I'm wrong. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.